Well, Nebraska baseball has lost five of their last six. The midweek games haven't been friendly, and last week they took their first series loss in Big Ten play when they went to the Rutgers and fell two games out of three. But tonight, chance to get back on the winning track, both in the season and in the Big Ten Conference. Evan Bland of the Omaha World-Herald joins us on the 42 Degrees The Source hotline. Evan, how are things? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you guys got it. Doing well. Hey, I caught part of your previous segment about Glengarry Glen Ross, and that's ABC, always be closing. So if you guys haven't seen that, I'm looking forward to hearing your reviews.
Yes, I've never seen it. That's why I picked it.
Yeah,
so
same.
We're always going to do it. You know, that's an appropriate way to start this interview, always be closing, because closing out games has been a bit of a struggle for Nebraska baseball, to the point where and part of this, and maybe give us a little insight on as to why Drew Christo has been sent to the pen. He was the typical Sunday starter. What role do you think he takes on starting this weekend?
Well, I mean, I think the TBD really describes it pretty well. Like, they don't necessarily know. I mean, maybe he'll be needed tonight, although Brett Sears, is the way he pitches, you would doubt it. Maybe he'll be needed tomorrow, and if he's not, I think likely he'll probably be the Sunday guy still. But they want to leave open the opportunity maybe for Will Walsh. And then, you know, you could go a couple other directions of guys who started games as well. Ty Horn's been a midweek guy at times. Caleb Clark has looked a little bit better of late, and they like him as a starting guy too. But, you know, it's a team that they're just trying to kind of shake things up a little bit and find a way to get out of this slump. And you think back to the 10-game winning streak that they had, and then in the month of April, they've lost 6 of 9 games. They're back out of the rankings, and so they're just trying to figure some things out. I think especially on the pitching side, you really love to have a Sunday starter that you feel like would give you 5 or 6 innings pretty predictably, and they haven't had that. The bullpen's been as good as it was in February and March. It's been that much shakier this past month. And certainly the series at Rutgers last weekend, they blew a couple leads that they had. And I think that's the thing, this little stretch that they've had lately has been maybe the most confounding, because they've led in like each of the last 5 games. They're 1-4 in that stretch. So, like, are you optimistic about the fact that they've taken the lead, or are you pessimistic about the fact that they haven't been able to hold on to it? And so I think this is an interesting opportunity this weekend with Maryland. This isn't your slightly older brother's Maryland team.
Yeah.
Won the Big Ten in back-to-back years. Like, they don't have the sticks that they did in the past. It's a very average team, I think, in a lot of ways. So an opportunity for Nebraska, I think, to sort of reassert itself and get back to what it was doing earlier.
Evan, you wrote in the preview for this series, losing 6 of 9 games in April qualifies as a slump for the formerly top 25 Huskers, but is it part of the natural ebb of a baseball season, or something more concerning? I know that you've probably gotten that question how many times over the last few days, probably a lot. What have you ultimately landed on? Is this part of the season, or is this something more concerning?
I think at this point, right now, ahead of the weekend series with Maryland, I would say it's part of the natural flow of a baseball season. Now, maybe they get swept this weekend, and that could change. You know, I do think this homestand that they're on this week and next should be one where they make a move and you know, show what they can do and kind of settle in a little bit. But I think at this point, you look around, especially the midweek stuff, like top 25 teams lose weird games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays every week. I know a lot's been made of the struggles against Creighton, but that's a good Creighton team. I mean, you guys know as well as anybody, like, that's, you know, they're a balanced team. I think if Nebraska played those exact games against Creighton, but it was against a team, Wichita State or Kansas, I don't think there'd be nearly the frustration, maybe, or the just sort of the uproar on the Nebraska side.
Right.
And ultimately, I mean, you look at it going into today, Nebraska's 21 in the RPI. I mean, like, that's still in the conversation to host a regional, just from an RPI standpoint. And if nothing else, you're still squarely inside the bubble for an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. So, I think these sort of things happen. There's going to just be sort of those droughts or those little dry spells in a season. Now, of course, you can't let that thing extend another week or two, but I think at this point, they're absolutely on pace to be a contender in the Big Ten. The RPI is strong, and now you got to come out in the next couple weeks and just show that you know, those numbers are true to who you still are.
Talking with Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald, the Huskers and Maryland this weekend at Haymarket Park. You know, those bullpen numbers, and I quoted those numbers right before the infamous Grand Slam home run in the top of the ninth, but how the bullpen has totally flipped. They were certainly much more reliable in the month of March than they have been so far in the month of April. Casey Dice has had one of the better ERAs on the staff all season long. He was essentially the closer the first 5-6 weeks of the season, got all of his saves. Since then, you know, he hasn't necessarily been in that same position. He came in against the Jays in the seventh, helped shut the door on what could have been a big inning there. But why haven't there been that identification of who that main hammer can be at the back end of the bullpen? Why has that been a difficult problem?
Well, I think the coaches would say that they feel like the depth in the bullpen has been a strength of the team this year, and for a large portion of the season it has been. And I think when that's the case, there's this temptation then to say, okay, if we have three or four guys that we trust, then we can play matchups a little bit more. I think that's why you see Kyle Perry in the ninth at different times when maybe there are a couple left-handed bats up in the opposing lineup, and so they feel like they can you know, play it that way. You know, I think Rand Sanders has been a guy who sort of is like a gamer sort of guy. Like, he doesn't necessarily impress maybe in the scrimmages or sort of the midweek work that they do. But when the lights come on and the adrenaline's pumping, like, that's a guy that they've come to trust a little bit more. You know, Evan Borst has been pretty good in that role until maybe just the last couple of outings. Tucker Timmerman started the year really hot and has sort of, I don't know, faded a little bit in his first college season. So, you know, some of it's fluid, I would say, additionally. But, yeah, I mean, I think Dice would be sort of the co-closer with Kyle Perry at this point. And, you know, in an ideal world, would they love to have a Shea Shaneman or a Jake Hohensee or, you know, some of the closers they've had, Spencer Schwellenbach? Yeah, of course they would. But I think they would say that the depth there, again, has allowed them to play matchups a little bit. And, you know, some of the recent blown saves, too. I mean, obviously the Grand Slam against Creighton stands out, but one of the Rutgers come from ahead losses, you know, it was Kyle Perry on the mound, and there were a lot of seeing eye singles, and they've been beaten by the shift a couple of different times. So I think they feel like it's been just sort of a string of a little bit of bad luck, and that some of these guys are too talented to stay down for too much longer.
Hey, Evan, how comparable is this Maryland group to Nebraska? I found it very interesting in the preview, just, you know, the similar records at home, that they got off to a strong start this year and that they're struggling right now. And I guess ultimately, what do you think that could mean for the Huskers this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that the series is in Lincoln makes Nebraska the favorite. I think if you don't win at least two or three, that's certainly a disappointment. But I just think the Maryland team is kind of interesting because people that maybe casually follow college baseball or certainly Big Ten baseball could maybe associate, oh yeah, Maryland, you know, the team that won the Big Ten the last couple of years. I mean, they lost their head coach. Rob Vaughn's now at Alabama, the top 25 Crimson Tide team. They're not the slugging lineup that they used to be. You know, the last couple of years they were top five in home runs per game nationally. And I think now they're you know, mid hundreds or something like that. So they're sort of at the national average in that regard. And really their bats the last few years have covered up what's been pretty spotty pitching. They've been able to win a lot of slugfests, and that's just not the case right now. I mean, even just this weekend, Maryland's switching up its rotation. It's Saturday guys pitching tonight. They don't know who's pitching Saturday. So it's sort of trying to be addressed on the fly on their end too. So I think Nebraska's certainly got the edge with its two starters tonight and tomorrow, and Brett Sears and Mason McConaughey. I still think the offense has another step in it. Maybe that's Ben Columbus settling in now that he's healthy. Maybe that's a bounce back from some of the other players that have been cooling off of late. But I just think Nebraska being at home, you know, and again, just sort of the drought that some of these players have been in, I just don't know that you can say that thing's going to last a month. It feels like maybe this is a get-right weekend for Nebraska.
Well, it's a get-right weekend, and it's suds for all. The beer sales have begun. The Regents voted it in today, and it's going in place just in time. It's amazing how they're able to get that beer just rolling right out. Just
pretty wild.
I almost wonder if the, you know, the trucks were just sitting outside the stadium
waiting.
Just waiting to unload. So your job tonight, Evan, your assignment, if you wish to choose or accept it, is to watch to see how many beers get thrown from the third row.
Because
as we remember from Bill Moose, you know, the third row is where all the beer chucking comes from.
That's right. Yeah, and, you know, I'm excited actually to see how it goes tonight, because over the years there have been a couple of instances where, like, Nebraska will play and then the Salt Dogs will play, and it's fascinating to see how it turns over quickly. I mean, the carts come out, the signage goes up, and it's just like it's functional within like 2 hours, and you're just like, this is a totally different experience than what you just saw, where, you know, it could be Pepsi products and hot chocolate. So I'm just kind of curious to see how it goes tonight. I'm sure everyone will, you know, behave. I don't know that it's like super ideal, you know, beer sipping weather. You're talking low 50s and windy.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much that invites imbibing necessarily, but it's going to be different for sure.
Hey, Evan, quick one before we let you go. Why this now? You had that great story within the last month or two about just the relationship between the Salt Dogs and the Huskers. It seemed like this was going to get put on the back burner for another season. Basketball, of course, has had it now for a couple of years. Why now?
Well, I think you probably got to give a lot of credit to Troy Dannon, the new AD, and interim president Chris Kaborik for getting a lot of this figured out, because the impasse, you know, as we put out there, has been, you know, what's the revenue sharing splits? Is it 90-10? Is it 50-50? The sides couldn't come to an agreement on it. And lo and behold, how about this notion that any profits Nebraska make on alcohol sales just gets reinvested into the stadium? And the Salt Dogs are cool with that because they want the upgrades and they want to enjoy the benefits. Nebraska clearly has designs on improvements at Haymarket Park as well. And so, you know, if you look at some of the estimates out there, that could mean, you know, $100,000-$150,000 a year potentially just in different upgrades. And maybe that's major things like what Nebraska eventually wants to do with player development things. Maybe it's minor things, just like replacing equipment and sprucing up things for the fan experience. So I think you probably do have to give a lot of credit to that leadership for just having coming in with a fresh perspective, sort of starting from scratch and saying, okay, how can we figure this out so everybody benefits?
Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald, reads great coverage of the series this weekend and more, including the Pick Six podcast and a lot more on omaha.com. Evan, thank you very much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Evan Bland joining us on the 42 Degrees, the Source Hotline. And on that note, now that the 4,500 or so that will attend the game tonight can also enjoy, well, the ones of age in the crowd can enjoy.
Yes. Good call, John.
Now it feels like the first time One Beer Friday can literally go from Missouri River to Panhandle, from the Sand Hills to the Kansas border.
It's nice. It feels good again.
Is there nothing to the south?
Nebraska, the Kansas border.
Nebraska City.
Well, that's still about halfway, though.
If we could just build the wall to keep the smoke out.
That would be nice.
The smoke wall.
The smoke wall.
I like that idea.
Well, I haven't noticed it as much this year. So is the wind blowing in a different direction? Are they not?
The wind's blowing every direction.
That's true. It's
instead of a wall, just put a giant Dyson air purifier down there.
Great idea, Nick.
A Dyson air purifier.
Yeah. Give us the air.
Good luck changing that filter.
Ooh. Yeah, that'd be gross.
But it is a One Beer Friday, and we want to especially invite those of you who are going to be in attendance at Haymarket Park. Take a picture of what you're drinking. Send it to us. Use the hashtag One Beer Friday. Nick's got prizes. And yes, One Beer Friday coming up next, brought to you by the Nebraska Craft Brewers Guild. We've got predictions, we've got content, and
opinions.
Opinions next on 1620 The Zone.